from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Wojtyn.
Good morning, happy Wednesday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Well, it's the 11 o'clock hour, so at 11:47, we take your texts, your feedback, and Ursula's words to live by. And then at 11:33, we do good news that happens. But right now, let's get to the headlines.
So, G, after a lot of debate, the city of Tacoma is now going to have its officers wearing body cameras starting early next year. The News Tribune is reporting that the city has explored this idea since 2015. But, of course, with the protests against police brutality over the recent deaths of George Floyd in Minneapolis and Manny Ellis in Tacoma, there is this renewed conversation around body cams.
I can't believe that after much debate, like I don't think anybody would want to debate whether or not police officers should have body cams on. I mean, that should be a necessity right now. It's considering what happened with Breonna Taylor. There were all of those cops didn't have body cams on. So nobody's been brought to justice for that. Now, this conversation of what's been happening with Manuel Ellis down in Tacoma, nobody's been held accountable for that as well. So, yes, there needs to be body cams, Ursula.
I did look into, like, what are the biggest arguments against having body cameras? And one of them is that for police, body cameras, this is what it says, decrease the safety of police officers and negatively affect their physical and mental health. And because apparently some people respond negatively and even violently to being filmed by police, especially those who may be under the influence or are suffering from mental health problems. Apparently there have been studies on that. Okay, I'm just giving you the cons here. The other one would be that these body cameras could invade the privacy of actual the citizens. So it could expose victims and witnesses of crimes and damage police and public relationships. And then three, this one, I didn't realize how expensive body cameras are, but apparently they're too expensive and unreliable, which would be the argument for some. And this is one thing that I thought was interesting. So in Philadelphia, there was a four-year deal to equip the department of over 4,000 officers. That cost $12.5 million. Doesn't that seem high?
Okay, here's the real issue with body cameras is what do you do with the footage? So if you have thousands of Freedom of Information Act requests for body cam footage, processing all of those requests is a massive and onerous burden. That being said, I think there's a way to do it. Cities have figured it out. The problem is the police can still turn them off at will in many instances, and there's no disciplinary reaction for when they choose to turn them off. Just, oh, oops, it went off there just randomly during that one encounter in which someone complained about.
Right. So, I mean, it's not a guarantee that you're going to see everything, but it's a guarantee that you're going to see something.
Ursula, what do you think? You think cops should have body cams on?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think it is worth the investment. I just didn't realize how much of an investment it is, but I think that is absolutely going to be the direction that everyone is going.
Do you know how much police departments pay out in settlements every year?
Exactly.
I mean, that is way less to have body cameras on, have the police officers know and keep them accountable.
Yeah. But the issue that does keep coming up, though, is this whole thing about privacy. But again, I would say that I think when you weigh the pros and cons, I believe the pros certainly outweigh the cons.
How many times have you been amongst your friends and somebody says, yeah, Ursula, I got pulled over the other day. I could tell that the cop had on a body cam. It was my privacy. You ever heard that before? Have you ever heard anybody complain about a cop having their body cam on?
I haven't even had that conversation with somebody that they got pulled over by a cop. Although I did tell you about the time that I got pulled over for apparently weaving on the road when I hadn't had a stitch to drink. That's a whole conversation for another time. But
you've never had a conversation with somebody about being pulled over?
No.
Do you know what the real privacy is?
That is the privilege. That is probably... Well, have I? No. I mean, recently? No. When I was younger, yes.
One of my bosses, I won't say who, one of my bosses says they've never been pulled over before.
Oh, I've been pulled over. Yeah. But one of our bosses, I know.
One of my bosses says they've never been pulled over before. I don't even know how that's humanly possible.
Okay, how many times have you been pulled over? You're always getting in my business. I'm getting into yours right now.
Being serious?
Yes.
Well, over 20-something times. Easy. Now, how many times did I deserve to be pulled over? Probably 75% of the time.
Okay, look at you being all honest. I was thinking, if you tell me 10%, this is going to be tough.
First of all, I mean, if there's one, look, you guys can not like my politics and not like how I think about something, but you ain't going to accuse me of lying. I'm going to tell the truth. Now, some of those situations in which I've been pulled over, now there are some stories behind that.
We need to get into that. Yeah, and I need to share the story about me being pulled over. I actually shared it when I was still on Dory's show, and the conversation at the end of that was, say hi to Dory. I didn't get a ticket, but the last thing that was said was, say hi to Dory.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so Governor Inslee, as you heard from Aaron's newscast, he is now saying it was deeply disappointing to him that a King County Sheriff's deputy, who happens to be his cousin, was posting inflammatory memes seemingly mocking those Black Lives Matter protesters who were hit on I-5 over the weekend.
We all have to pitch in to do our part to advance the cause of justice. Certainly that language did not do that.
Deputy Mike Brown is now on leave while this internal investigation is underway. He's been with the sheriff's office for 40 years. The protester, Summer Love, died. The other one is now in stable condition.
Been in law enforcement for 40 years and is doing things like this. This is the cousin of the governor. This is also, from what I read, I heard he was he a security detail for Dow Constantine?
Yeah. I mean, he's been doing that for a while because I think he was dating back to Ron Sims.
So this would, okay, let me get this straight. This cop is the cousin of a governor and security detail for Dow Constantine. So that lets me know when people are saying good cops and bad cops, this guy seems to be a decorated good cop because he gets to be security detail for Dow Constantine. So this is a good cop doing these things. He's been on the force for 40 years. I wonder, is this the first time that this guy has done something like this? How about people that surround him? How about some of his friends? How about them? Do they do any of those things? Here's what I'm willing to bet. I'm willing to bet that further down the road, we find out more things in the future. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope that I'm wrong, that maybe this is an isolated situation and there's nothing else.
Well, we talk about the need for a change in the culture, and definitely it's clear that the sheriff's department, because we did see that there were other people who are involved in the sheriff's office who were also posting or adding their two cents or cheering them on, whatever it was. But here's my question. I mean, he has been there for 40 years. If whether it's he was frustrated or just everything that's going on now that there's social media, this was his personal site, do these memes then negate everything he's done for the last 40 years?
I get what you're saying.
I mean?
No. Okay. Let me say this. The answer is no. No, it does not negate that. Right? What he has done. However, to me, what it does, it is a window into who he is and possibly things that he's done that he has not been held accountable for. And to think, this guy's been in law enforcement for 40 years, and he woke up one morning and he thought, hey, let me go ahead and laugh like this. Hey, guys, all lives splatter, and let me make fun of protesters being killed. He thought that that was okay after 40 years in law enforcement. So that lets me know the type of example that he is to our society is not a good one. And it makes me wonder what else is there. So, Ursula, my question is this. You and I have had a great relationship over the years, right?
Mm-hmm.
One day you find out I steal out of your purse. I stole something from you. And so you're going to say, gee, how could you do that? Why would you make a mistake like that? Now, even though you and I have had a great relationship over the years, isn't it going to make you wonder if I've ever stolen from you before?
Yes, it will. But I would also try to find out, you know, is something going on? Is there something that I don't know? I mean, it would be my trust in you will definitely have been shaken. Mm-hmm. Will it mean I will never be your friend again? I mean, I guess it depends to the extent.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, it's hard to say. I just cannot believe. I mean, I still cannot believe. And I praise the sheriff's office and the sheriff herself for taking quick action and, you know, not waiting on it and saying that this is not something that we're cool with. Mm-hmm. But, you know, someone who's been there that long, it's like there must have been a lot of good stuff that he's done too, right? So it's tough. I mean, it's tough. The other question I have is, we keep talking about this, he's related to the governor. He's the governor's cousin. I mean, are we responsible for every one of our relatives?
No,
seriously?
No.
If we are, I'm in trouble.
No, we're not. No. No, we're not responsible for all of our relatives. But it makes you wonder. Wow. I wonder how many people at the top get positions because of who they know. Nothing wrong with it. Just admit it. Just admit.
In this case, though, yeah, and I know which point you're making, but in this case, I mean, the guy's been there for 40 years.
I
think he's had accolades for other things that he's done. But again, what a shame that at the end of your long career that you do something so stupid. Honestly,
Bill Cosby had a great career.
No one's threatening his pension.
Bill Cosby had a great career.
I know, and right? I mean, and then you realize, my. You know, Bill Cosby is not who we thought we was. Ugh. Yeah, that's a good point, G. Okay, I'm going to the next one. While many businesses now have signs posted reminding customers of the mask order, Molly Moons has posted a sign that is raising some eyebrows. Outside their Capitol Hill store, there's a sign that says, "Police officers, Molly Moons is a gun-free zone. Please do not come inside if you're wearing a firearm. No guns allowed inside." And just for everyone to know, this store is actually in the former Chop Zone.
I was sad to see it. I was sad to see that. As a selfishly speaking, as a son of a cop, and as someone who really appreciates the cops across the country that are doing it the right way, the ones with integrity, the ones with character. Them out there, I'm proud of you guys. I'm proud of you guys for stepping up and speaking out against the bad cops. So when I see police officers like that, to me, I think, by the way, follow me where I'm going with this. It's no different. It's no different than when I get pulled over in my car and I get treated a certain way because I'm black. There's no different to treat police officers because they're police officers because of the few that you feel like that makes you think that all of them are that way. So, Ursula, I'm kind of sad. Now, if you want a rule in your business that says, hey, if you're armed, I don't want anybody in my business, okay, cool. But if you're basically just talking to police officers and telling them that they're not welcome in there, it's not really, that's not the point of this. Yes, I want reform. Yes, I want re-imaging. Yes, I want the leaders to make these bad cops be accountable. I want all of that. But I also don't want to degrade police officers. And when this sign gets put up there, it just helps others really talk down and look down at police officers. And I'm not a part of that.
I agree. It was just unnecessary. I mean, and you could have done the same thing by just saying we are a gun-free zone, period.
Fair.
Right?
Fair.
Yeah, but to put in capital letters, police officers...
Nah.
That's not cool. On the company's Facebook page, they say they are 100% supportive of Black Lives and the Black Lives Matter movement, as well as divesting funding from the police department. So they're, you know, drawing their line in the sand, but I think it was unnecessary.
Okay, so let me see. Man, this
I know.
Is
what I, so, this is so, the part so, about so, headlines that are... Okay, go ahead.
So check this out.
Yeah.
They support Black Lives Matter. Great. They support defunding the police and putting it in other avenues and to help with resources across our communities. Great. But I don't want to be. And also, by the way, yeah, police officers, you're not allowed in here with your guns. Ah, wait. wait, I don't, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, you're portraying them like they're the enemy, and they're not.
They're not. I don't want to have that be out there. But anyway, sorry. Got a little emotional on that one. I'm just thinking about me as a kid and how I used to just love for my dad to show up in his cop uniform and how proud I used to be, man.
Yeah,
I used to be so proud.
And you should be. And people should still be proud of police. And we should still consider them being on our side. And you can still demand reform and demand that the bad apples be removed while still saying, I support police.
Ain't no doubt.
Yeah. Okay, last one.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle restaurateur Tom Douglas announced that he's going to be closing two of his restaurants for good. Brave Horse Tavern and Trattoria Cuoco, both in South Lake Union, have been closed since March. And he's just said they've reached the end of their 10-year leases. And there's a new reality in the real estate market because of COVID. And trying to continue there just wasn't in the cards. Here's my question for you. Do you see restaurants ever going back to how they were?
No, I don't. And let me tell you why. Because Ursula, Lillian and I, we love restaurants. As a matter of fact, it's the, like, that's our number one go-to, our restaurants. How come we haven't snuck to one in 4 months? We have not gone into a restaurant to go inside and eat inside, not one time since then. That lets me know. And then we are people that love restaurants. How about the people that kind of semi-love restaurants?
Well, and for restaurants themselves right now, when you can only do 25% or 50% population or, you know, normal number capacity, it's not worth it. I mean, why would you then put in all that money for the, you know, people you have to hire, people, all the stuff that you have to do to serve people and do all the cleaning, et cetera? It's more worth it until you can go 100%, just continue doing the takeout.
How about you, Ursula? When's the last time you and how many times have you and your husband gone inside of a restaurant to eat? 3 times? 4 times?
Yeah, a couple. Yeah, a handful. You know, you know that I have been trying to support businesses. And I mean, just last weekend, I went with a girlfriend. South Center Mall's open. We walked around the mall. We were masked, washed hands. And we went in there and then we ate at the Joey's out there.
Yeah.
But I will say that I feel sorry whenever I go into a restaurant and I see, it's like, no way. You can't make it happen.
Coming up, 11:47, we do your tips. I'm thinking about restaurants, Ursula. Your texts, your feedback, and Ursula's words to live by. And in right now, coming up, we do good news. It's G and Ursula.
Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show. This hour of the show is brought to you by your local Carrier heating and air conditioning dealers. Coming up in 15 minutes, we will be sharing your texts and feedback. And today, we will include some great advice from one of our listeners. If you are like the listener that we featured in scenarios today, she's dealing with some awful neighbors. Her landlord can't kick them out. We got some great advice. But right now, we are going to call another Audible G. We often do good news in this segment, but as much as we want to bring uplifting news to all of you daily, there are times that we do have other topics that we want to talk about, and this is one of them. So as you've probably heard by now, Mary Kay Letourneau has died. For those of you who haven't lived in this area for very long, she is a former Burien teacher who was convicted of raping a sixth grade student in 1996. His name is Vili Fulau. He was 12 years old when they first started having their relationship. She was 34 at the time. And while she professed her love for him and defended their relationship fiercely, she did plead guilty.
I did something that I had no right to do, morally or legally.
She spent 7 years in prison and then married him. They had 2 daughters together. And then eventually they separated in 2017 and divorced. Now, we're hearing from her attorney this week that Letourneau died from stage 4 cancer. She was sick, very, very sick over the last few months and couldn't beat it. And she died. She was only 58 years old.
I put a Facebook post up yesterday, and
I saw.
You saw it, and it just said, I just said, I met her back in 2014 at a bar down in Kent that I would go to. It was a bar down the street from my house. I can't even remember the name of it. It was like right off Central Ave, but I would go to this bar on Friday, Saturday nights, but anyway, OG. And Billy, her
husband.
Her husband at the time, he would be the DJ. He was DJing at the place. And she would be dancing all the time. She'd always be dancing. And so I put that on my Facebook and I said she was a super sweet lady and always so full of life when I saw her. May she rest in peace. And there was a lot of some people got on there, you know, rest in peace. And then there was a lot of people that wanted to get on there and question me about how I supported someone who did this to a kid, to a 12-year-old. And what if that was your 12-year-old and this and that? And I could have easily got on there and told a story. But you know what? This story wasn't about me. I'm going to leave it at may she rest in peace. And I don't have to explain to anyone. But now you guys wanted to talk about it. I figure I'll tell you guys a story then. So again, in 2014, I remember the first time I saw her and I said to myself, oh my goodness, that's Mary Kay Letourneau. Oh, I said all kinds of choice words, Ursula. Mm. I was like, ugh, she's nasty. Oh, look at her. You know, I had all the negative things to say. And then, and again, this was my place where I'd go to on Friday night. So every time I go, Vili, her husband at the time, he'd be DJing and she'd be there dancing. And one time at the bar, she just so happened to come up there towards the bar and she says, hi, how are you? And I just kind of looked at her, I said, hi, you know, and she got, I remember the guy bartender giving her something first and got it before me and says, oh, have a good one. And she was just really nice. Her energy was really nice towards me. And I remember explaining to my dad and telling him about Mary Kay Letourneau and I had all these bad things to say. And my dad said, was she nice to you? And I said, well, yeah, she was nice to me, but I'm just saying, like, what she did back then is foul. He said, so what he said, he asked, my dad asked me, what do you want to do? You don't have to say anything to her. If she's mean to you or she's a certain way, what do you want to do? Do you want her to be back in jail? I said, well, yeah, shouldn't she spend the rest of her life in jail? He says, okay. He says, he says, look, son, I don't control what happens with the criminal justice system, but she paid her debt to society. Society says she was supposed to go to jail for a certain amount of time. And when she, and the society let her out of jail. And my dad asked me, he says, so now what do you want to do? Do you just want to be nasty towards her for the rest of her life? You want to condemn her? You want her to die? What do you want? And I never forget that conversation that I had with my dad. So here's my point. When I saw her again after that, the next time, I was cordial and nice back to her and said hi to her the same way she said hi to me. And then it would get to the point where every time I'd see her, she was just always so full of life and just always so nice. And I just judged her before on what she had done, on how I came to know Mary Kay Letourneau.
Mm-hmm.
But then the only lasting thought that I have, that I personally have, is how she was towards me in that moment. And so for me to say, may she rest in peace, that's what I mean. That's what I stand on. It's not my, if everybody wants to get on air, you can say what you want to say. Everybody can, you could judge, you could talk about, you could do what you want to do. I'm going to choose this time to say, may she rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And so that is, you know, my Mary Kay Letourneau story is just that I got to see and know her, that she was just so full of life and was just so nice. And the one last thing I'll say, she literally would dance all night. And I don't know how she had the energy to do that, but she would dance all night. And she was always so happy and nice. Now, if this is the time that everybody wants to say, but yeah, G, what about the 12-year-old? I don't understand it either. It is the weirdest story in the world to me. And is even more weird. What's even more weird is to see the two of them together and to see how in love they were when I met them. Yes, it's strange, and I don't understand it. Their relationship lasted longer than some people's regular marriages, if you want to call it that. I don't understand it. I'm just telling you and sharing with you guys the story.
And I talked to Mary Kay when she was pregnant with the first child. I suspected it. It just because she was giving some hints, and I had a conversation. I was trying to get her to do a recorded interview with me, but in talking to her, she was as pleasant as can be. I think before all this blew up, I think she was known as a great teacher. She's a beautiful woman, but I was furious. And if it was my own 12-year-old, I would have been outraged, and I mean beyond outraged, because you know that changed the trajectory of Vili's life, and she was a teacher. I mean, so and you entrust your children, and Vili was 12 years old. That all said, she did spend her time in prison. I mean, and we were fascinated. We didn't even have social media then, but that story was everywhere. She did, you know, serve her time in prison. They did eventually get married. They had two beautiful daughters together. I read up that the four children that she had in her previous marriage, that they tried to reconcile, and I think that they were starting to spend more time with their mom. I looked up, you know, they look like they're happy. And I hope that not only that Mary Kay has peace, but that her family finally has peace.
Yeah. The name of that bar was Cloud Nine.
What? you've been thinking about that? That's been bugging you, right?
No, okay. I ain't been thinking about it. Somebody texted in and said, gee, it was Cloud Nine. Yeah, there it is. The older we get in age, the more that we just start to forget things.
But you did point out, I mean, it's such a complex story. And when you think, well, what is her legacy? I mean, she'll always be remembered as that teacher who had, raped a sixth grade student when he was 12. But, you know, she did spend time, and then they did eventually have a family together.
I deleted six people off my Facebook last night. Just
I
so
saw.
You know. Oh, I was deleting people like crazy.
I'll ask this. When you post something on there, and I think this is just in life in general, if you post something and you don't like what they write, I mean, because I got it yesterday too, it's like we need to be able to have that conversation, right, and explain.
Okay, so check this out. I don't have a problem when you disagree with me. That's great. I have a problem when you try to the little smart emojis and you endorsing embracing pedophiles. When you make comments like that to me,
personal.
I just delete you.
Yeah.
That's not cool. At what point do I embrace someone being a pedophile? That's not what I did.
Exactly.
And anyways.
I don't know.
And plus, I don't know, I got one last thing. I got a little emotional last night because it's interesting. My opinion of Mary Kay Letourneau and my experience with her changed because that was one of the conversations I had with my dad. And it just made me miss him that much more. Coming up next, we do good news. We do text feedback and Ursula's words to make fun. It's the G and Ursula Show. Really appreciate all of you for listening to the show. And Ursula, before we get to the text and feedback and words to live by, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
In your lifetime, have you ever heard one of your friends say, hey, my granddad met my grandma when she was 14 years old? You ever heard that before?
Probably,
you ever heard stories like
yeah.
that?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I'm just asking. Okay, go ahead. Let's go ahead and get to the text.
You throw that out there, then you want me to go to the text. I mean, I will point out to you, you're bad.
I know.
Yeah.
That's why I just want to tell you, Ursula, I love doing the show with you, man. I really do.
I know.
Because I bounce too. All over the walls and you just be like, oh, just gee.
I know. Yeah, they did. But again, in that case, it wasn't a teacher and student, and they were both 14. Okay, so anyway, potentially going back to a statewide lockdown.
Yeah.
360 says, Ursula, if everyone was capable of doing the right thing, then we wouldn't need all the laws and regulations that they're complaining about. It would be great if people had a brain and were proactive.
206 says, totally agree with G. Yes, one in the last 6 months. We can't beat this thing if everybody's not on board.
Well, I agree with that. We've got to be on board. Okay, 509 says, this thing scares the you-know-what out of me to think we might go backwards as a business owner. So hanging on faith, people, wear a mask. That's my prayer for the business owners, if nothing else.
Police and body cameras. 206 says, good morning. I prefer not to work without cameras, both in the car and body worn. I welcome both. 36 years SPD.
Wow.
I like being recorded because it protects me from false claims.
There's another pro in the argument.
Or my lady. I don't know if that's not a man or not.
That's right. Okay, so the King County deputy who mocked the dead protester, 425, says, Mike has been a good cop for a long time. Bad choice, poor judgment, you bet. But gallows humor between cops is how they deal with the ugliness that they see day in and day out. Write him up, sure. Days off without pay? Probably. But after that, take away his social media and call it good.
Gallows humor between cops? Whoa. Higher education. 206 says, now that WSU students don't have to pay the $13,000 for their housing and meal plans, they'll just get a nice fat tuition increase next year. Guaranteed.
Oh, scenarios. Neighbors from heck. 360 says, tell him to get a one-inch masonry bit and a garden hose. Chef, put this in here. Wait until they leave and then flood their apartment. No, don't do that. No, this is the good advice.
You know what, man? Sometimes, you know, you do have to pre-read what Chef puts in sometimes. I'm telling you.
Seriously. We got to just do one. Some people are just horrible. It's best to move away. But since she's renting, can she transfer to a different unit on the property? I think that's great advice. Maybe you can ask about that.
Okay. Let's get to Worst to Live By, my friend.
Okay, we started the show. We were kind of being negative. It is hard to stay positive during these challenging times. The difference, though, between an obstacle and an opportunity is our attitude toward it. Every opportunity has a difficulty, and every difficulty does have an opportunity. It's our chance to find them.
Great show, Ursula.
Thank you. It was fun.
I wish we could keep going. Chef G. Scott is dancing while doing an interview. I acted a fool. Andrew?
A troubling amount of people have told me to not be in this industry, and I don't know what to do with that information.
You're doing great. Don't listen to them.
We love you, Andrew. Hey, it's been a good show. We'll do this again tomorrow. Yep, we'll be back at 9 o'clock. You know what? It's the most positive thing that you can do throughout the day is listen to us every single day from 9 to 12. Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. Be good.